God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Word of Life with the Lord's General, Prophet John Anoche.
Word of Life broadcast with Prophet John Anoche is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries.
A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever be. Oh, Hill City, let the Garden of Eden before us, where a great privilege of awakening to a life of new wine, wheat, and oil is released. Partake of the powers of the age to come.
His words, the power is in me, and the authority has invested in me.
The Lord's General, Prophet John Anoche, and the Holy Colonial Family, every Sunday at 8:30 GMT at the Tree of Life Service. Worldwide Word, raising people to function like Christ Jesus.
Word of life. As I've been teaching about the 11th hour generation, that is where I'm going into the deeper side of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, about the fullness of Jesus. What the fullness of Jesus is.
Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet.
Okay.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church.
And he gave him to be head over all things back to the church. Now, God, the Father of Jesus, put all things under Jesus' feet, not his head. Feet. And the feet is part of his body.
Yes.
So all things are accomplished in the body. But where in the body? The feet. Papa God gave all things to Jesus. But let's hear where Jesus said them.
Jesus was in the feet. And he put all things under his feet.
He put all things,
all things
under Jesus' feet.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus, the principle of Jesus is that he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the head. And his whole body is the church. But he puts all things under the feet. So where is the power of Christ? The feet.
Light the world with the word of life. Word of life.
Yes, Apostle, it's important that we understand in this last day generation what we are about, who we are. And, you know, a lot of people are with the assertion that, you know, for us to be able to deal with the enemy, we must know who the enemy is. But don't you also want to know who you are in relation to who the enemy thinks he is?
Yes, sir.
So that when you are dealing with the enemy that you are dealing with, that you think you are dealing with, the enemy will also know who you are, and you'll be conscious of who you are.
Yes.
In the generation that you have come to. It is important that you understand that. So I will want to highlight it by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want to salute the Holy Spirit of God,
yes,
my boss. I can't proceed without him. Everything that, you know, I am and whoever I think I am, he's the one who has made me,
yes,
and not me myself. So I want to salute him and show him forth to all over the world, to people of the world, that the Holy Spirit is real. He lives in me, he lives in you if you are a believer. If you are not a believer, you are seeking for him to live in you. You need to receive Christ Jesus,
yes,
as your Lord and Savior. And definitely the Holy Ghost will come and live in you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he will make you a shining light to the world. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, Apostle, I think we started this series last week. We went further. And this week we are going deeper.
Mm.
We left off a scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter number, if you remember, 35. And I will want us to go and open the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. And there was a revelation there concerning us.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah, chapter 35.
Yes, this is one of the prophetic books. Isaiah is a prophet.
Yes, sir.
And so many things he prophesied about the church of Jesus. And people must understand that.
Mm.
You know, I just want us to read something about the Lord, who he is,
mm-hmm.
how he operates. Okay. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Maybe I want to open the 44 or 42 verse. Let me read a gist about 42 and then go to maybe the 48, 44, 48 verse. A gist about Isaiah 42 verse 9.
Isaiah 42 verse 9.
Okay.
Behold,
mm-hmm.
former things have come to pass.
Yes.
And new things I declare.
And then new things I declare. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
Okay. So the Lord says what? Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Okay. Yes. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So God is someone who speak about some things before it happens. Let's go to Isaiah 48, verse 2 and 3. And then further there. So,
Isaiah 42, verses 2 and 3. Yes. For they call themselves after the holy city.
Yes.
And lean on the God of Israel.
Yes.
The Lord of hosts is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I have declared the former things from the beginning.
Okay.
They went forth from my mouth.
They went forth from my mouth.
And I caused them to hear it.
And I caused them to hear it.
Suddenly I did them.
Okay, suddenly I did them.
And they came to pass.
And they came to pass. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we serve a God who will always say things before they happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to the fifth verse. Okay.
Said, even from the beginning I have declared it to you.
Yes.
Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you.
All right.
Lest you should say,
mm-hmm.
my idol has done them.
And that's what I want. Lest you should say, my idol has done them. Yes. Uh-huh.
And my carved image and my molded image have commanded them.
Okay.
You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I've made you hear new things from this time.
Yes.
Even hidden things, and you did not know them.
Okay, so you see, so you have to understand the operation of God. When God is operating,
sure.
That is why in the Bible has said, do not despise prophecies.
Yes.
Do not treat prophecies as contempt,
yes, sir.
Or with contempt. Now, Apostle, it is very important that we do not despise the prophecies of God. The Lord God says, the Bible is full of prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible here is full of prophecies.
Sure.
So I wonder how sometimes a prophet is talking and is putting down the written prophecies.
It's amazing.
Because this is actually, you know, the oracles of God.
Yes.
And even the Bible says we should see ourselves as the oracles of God. We should be the oracles of God. You can't put this word down. Now, the reason why people don't love, you know, the written word, and they think because they have the Holy Spirit, whatever this, you know, what they're saying is, you know, and then we should proceed. And that statement is offensive to the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible says something here. That whatever you are doing will pass away. Even the gift you are using will pass away. But my word will not pass away.
Yes.
The word written there, when you meditate on it and you imbibe on it, they become rhema in you.
Yes.
And you speak them forth. That is what is the active word
that
comes out of your mouth.
Yes,
without the word, there's no power.
Mm.
You have the Holy Spirit, all right, but there's no word to effect it.
Yes.
You have to understand the concept of spirit and creation and making.
Yes.
You have to understand. The Holy Ghost creates. The Word of God makes. Okay? And you understand?
Yes.
And manifests what He has made. Jesus, the Bible says, the Word of God, that is why when the Gospels were dealing with, when you read the Synoptic Gospels, and you read John, there's a big difference. The Synoptics begin to write about the history of the Lord Jesus.
Mm.
His lineage and all of that.
Yes.
John starts straight away from his divinity side, from his deity, Jesus,
in the beginning
being deity. So he said, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
He shows the whole world, he shows the whole Christendom, who Jesus is.
Mm.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He says that he was in the beginning with God.
Yes.
Nothing was what? All things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. So do you understand? All things became because of him. He said, and the word of God became flesh. And we dwelt, you know, he dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Okay? Now, so you have to understand the word of God. The Bible says, if he is even the light every man that comes to this world. So you can't get it wrong when you follow the word of God. But you see, the word of God has a structure. Anytime, I've said this time without number, I think that I started sensitizing people and bringing people to the fact that your opinion in the kingdom doesn't matter to us. If your opinion is not with the word, we are not looking for your opinions. Let the scripture interpret itself. Stop using your opinions to interpret the word of God. And people don't understand it. Because that's what people have done, if not, and they've not seen the glory of God in their lives. You cannot quote a scripture and try to use your opinion to give us the understanding. It will not work.
It won't.
It may work on some people, but it will not work on us.
No.
As for me, no. Because I'm looking at you getting the interpretation of the word of God for itself in it. So that the word of God must be allowed to interpret itself. Each word has its own interpretation over there. If you like, check it, you'll see it. So that's why I read this to you, so that you know that what we are about to read, okay, somebody will tell us that, oh, it's the Old Testament. No, Isaiah functioned under the Old Testament dispensation, but gave prophecies about the New Testament. The Bible talks about it. Jesus himself said it. He said, all the things you read in the law, in the prophets, in Psalms, was about me. Even in the temple, all the elements we see, the articles and the worships and the kind of worship that they use there, everything was pointing to Jesus. So you can get the revelations of it. That is why he says, till now, when Moses is read, a veil is put upon it so that people don't understand it. But when one turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the understanding comes, the veil is taken away. That means when one is reading, you know, the law, with the glass of the law, you don't see nothing. But one is reading the law with the glass of Jesus,
hallelujah,
the Lord, you understand that it points to Jesus. That is what it means, Apostle. So two people, one will read the law with the glass of the law and become corrupt with it and get into bondage according to the word of God, that you can get into bondage with the law. The Bible says also, there should be a glass of the Spirit, that when you use it to read the law, you understand it that the law is about Jesus. It points to Jesus. So I read this so that people understand that before God would do anything, he prophesies about it. He speaks to his prophet to declare the word. So when it happens ahead of us, we will not attribute that kind of happening to the idols of the nations of Israel. Period. So the same way, before the new creation will appear on earth, before Jesus will come, and afterwards the new creation, because Jesus was the only begotten of the Father, the firstborn of the dead, the only creation of the first of the new creation, the new creation. Until when he died and resurrected and went to be there, the Bible says we are the other creations, we are the other new creations, and the Bible also says that we are also other bones, the other begottings of God. So he's the first; we are the other following. Now, so that's what the Bible says. There must be a prophecy about such people in all dispensations unto the end when he comes back for us. And one of them is what I want to read. Caption, you know, all of us in it. For us to understand what shall be before the times. What shall be? What is happening? What shall happen before Jesus gloriously return to the earth and rapture us? Now, let's go to the book of Isaiah now, 35. The verse number one. Let's start from the verse one. It's a very short, you know, chapter there. It's up to about, you know, chapter number 10 or so. Let's read it, Apostle.
Isaiah chapter 35 from verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, mm-hmm. he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the ears of the deaf, then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where it lay, there shall grass be with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
All right, man. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this particular chapter is talking about the church, the Zion people, the Zionites.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about the fact that what is going to the glory of the Zionites. Now, he's talking about the future glory here.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them,
yes,
when they come into their full glory. The wastelands, okay, and the wilderness shall be what? Glad,
mm-hmm,
to receive them. When they actually come on lands that are wastelands or wilderness, those lands begin to rejoice. Why? Because they are going to turn it to be fruitful.
Hallelujah.
That is the kind of word God speaks concerning us.
Mm.
Now, so if you want to understand the new creation, this is one of the scripture, powerful scripture. So when the wilderness and the wasteland see us, when they witness us, when they look at us, they are happy and rejoice because this is like a symbol. They are happy and rejoice greatly. They are glad because we are going to turn everywhere we live, even if it's a wilderness, to be what? Fruitful land,
yes,
or fruitful field.
Yes.
The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, you remember the rose is a flower.
Yes.
You know, the way it blossoms. Yes. It needs a kind of nutrients to get that. The Bible says the desert, can you imagine? The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose.
Hallelujah.
So when we see the desert begin to jump up.
Because we carry the spirit.
Yes, they skip for joy.
Mm.
Because we carry the spirit. We turn the whole place to be a fruitful, you know, land where rose, you know, comes from. Now, understand the word of God. He says, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. You see? Mm-hmm. So the glory of Lebanon. Lebanon was a fruitful land where certain kind of trees could grow there.
Yes.
And Solomon even had them arranged to bring them to make the house of God and his own house and all of that.
Cedars of Lebanon.
Yes, cedars of Lebanon and all of that. God uses that kind of word as a symbolism or typology of something great, you know. The excellence of camel and Sharon. These are, now, the camel there doesn't mean the animal camel.
Yes.
But he's talking about, a fruitful field, a garden kind of land. Mm.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about a garden land is a land that is by your neighborhood that you are able to turn over that land and then cultivate something on it. For when you look, when you want anything, you go to that garden, you can get it.
Yes, sir.
That is our garden land. And Sharon, when the Bible talk about Sharon, talk about a plain land, a plain fertile land. That is what Sharon means.
Yes, sir.
Yes. And so, a place at Joppa. Now, so they shall see the glory of the Lord. Okay. They shall see the glory of the Lord. The excellence of our God. He's explaining. Strengthen the weak hands. Mm. So there, the church strengthens the weak hands. The Zionites strengthen the weak. And they make firm the feeble knees. So you see the point. So that is why we are supposed to be the one taking care of the body of Christ who are weak among us in everything, in need and all of that. We must make sure there are systems in place. That is why the early church, the Bible says people sold their houses, sold their, their lands and all of that, and deposited the money at the apostles' feet.
Yes.
And they appointed 7 member people who are full of the Holy Ghost and with wisdom to, check the business of the church. That was the business of the church in supplying the needs of the saints at the time.
Yes, sir.
So whether you like it or not, it's an appropriate kind of thing to do where there is a system or a structure put in place to take care of the weak people in the church.
Yes, sir.
When we talk about weak people who are in need, they are now building.
Mm-hmm.
I was once upon a time in need.
Yes, sir.
If there was a system like that for me, certain things wouldn't have, maybe, yes, I wouldn't have gone through some things. Could walk, you know, miles, you know, to get some things. So, you close from church, you have to walk home.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever little in your pocket, you love God so much, you've given all.
Yes.
You walk. And we operated in that faith.
Yes, sir.
But if there was a system like that, we could just go and apply for it.
Yes.
Well, and then, you know, yes. Because, you know, you were building your life. Mm-hmm. It starts from somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. Now, hear the word. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to church, you are born again, and you are fearful, you know, you are fearful in heart. The Bible says we should actually admonish you that you have to be strong,
yes,
and be what?
And
be bold. Yes. Yes, and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance.
Hallelujah.
Now, this word will let you understand that because the first coming of Jesus was not with vengeance. He came as a lamb.
Yes.
Now, but he's coming, the Bible says again, as a lion.
Yes.
And so he's coming, the Bible says, with vengeance.
Mm.
The Bible has spoken about it,
sure,
in the book of Isaiah. He's coming with vengeance.
Mm.
Now, as he's coming with vengeance, you know, you can see this in the manifesto of Jesus, where he quoted from Isaiah chapter number, you know, 61. You know, the first part being he came to heal the brokenhearted and all of that. The Bible says, and then, you know, to preach to the captives and all of that. He said, to the acceptable year of the Lord. He talks about, and to what?
And the vengeance of our God.
The vengeance of our God. But he did not read that because that was not his first assignment.
Okay, meaning Luke 4:8, he did not read that part.
He did not read that part in Luke 4:8. You know, he left it. Why? Because it's a prophecy written of him.
Yes.
He left it because the prophet will come and prophesy about him. But when he was going, he said he will come back again. But he will come back as what? To deliver the kingdom in their hands. And the apostles were looking for the time, and he said, it is not in your domain. It is not in your authority to know the time appointed of the Father to release the authority and the kingdom unto the hands of my people. But you shall go and sleep afterwards. You shall receive the Holy Ghost baptism and power to go and preach the gospel to the whole world, because there is a work first. He will not tell you the time so that you are thinking about the time instead of you going to work. And so, you know, understand that particular scripture here.
Yes, sir.
So here the Bible says, with recompense of God. So he's talking about his second coming. Right here, the scripture of Isaiah is prophesying the next coming of Jesus Christ. Now, and the saint of God. And he will come and save you. The save you there is delivering somebody from battle.
Okay.
That is what it is. It's delivering somebody from battle. That is where we shall get our new bodies. So when you read, they are accurate about it. You can know the timeline over there.
Sure.
Now, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. That means all the people on earth who they don't understand, we preach to them. Here they will understand that, wow, they said it. It's true, like, you know, and all of that. And the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in wilderness. Now, but before all these things will happen, the church will go into a great harvest of God. So he prophesied it right there. And the Bible says, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground, which is the, you know, the scalding ground, heat and burning ground, okay, shall be what?
Shall
and thirsty land springs, okay, shall become a pool.
Yes.
And the thirsty land spring of water. The thirsty land is dry land.
Yes.
Thirsty land, okay. And then in the inhabitation of what?
Jackals.
Where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and what? Rushes.
Yes.
He prophesied. Rushes like, it actually grows like, these are certain kind of plants that grows in, we call it mangroves. You know, yes, you know, that's it. And the Bible says, a highway shall be there, and a road, a highway. This is where you go to, and in the church, we show you the way to Christ, the way to the coming of Jesus Christ. So the highway shall be there, and it shall be what called the it shall, and the road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Because everybody will be purified and be made pure unto the coming of Jesus. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others, whoever walks the road, although a fool shall not go astray.
What a road.
nor lion shall be there. Now, the word lion means no violence.
Yes.
Remember, it's a prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's talking about the word lion there is an interpretation of the Hebrew language, you know, violence.
Yes.
There will not be any violence there. Nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. So, in reading the ravenous beast, you understand that he's talking about that.
Yes.
Ravenous beast.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. He's symbolizing that. Yeah, because he's talking in relation to his people.
Mm-hmm.
How peaceful they will be and where they will bring you. So, if he's talking about beasts and ravenous wolves and lions, he's talking about people who make violence and who hurts people.
Yes.
Because he said that there shall be joy ever after.
Yes.
Okay?
And safety there.
Safety. Nor shall any ravenous go on it. It shall be, he said, and it shall not be found there.
Yes.
But the redeemed shall walk there.
The
and the ransom of the Lord. The ransom of the Lord is the people have been redeemed, bought with a price.
Sure.
That's what it means. And the ransom shall be what? Shall
return.
And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads.
Mm.
Everlasting joy is on their heads. It's like a crown they wear. The Bible says, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. Obtain means they work for it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Something they obtain. That means there was it's like you obtain a university degree.
Mm-hmm.
After working, somebody confessed on you. So, and sorrow and crying shall flee away. So he's prophesying about us, the believers, in the last day of the generation, up to the millennium.
Mm.
Now, do you understand the point now?
Sure.
So we are the millennials, okay? We are, you know, people use that terminology. But it's because of where we are going to go.
Mm.
That is why the Lord uses this terminology for us. So, understand this kind of prophecy that it is about us. That the last generation, there is a prophecy about the entire church and the last generation, what they must represent.
Mm.
And that is why I'm showing these people scriptures. Let's go to the book of Psalm 132, verse number 7. Psalm 132, verse number 7. Thank you, Father. Masa Katara Bushanda. We are using scriptures to interpret scriptures. Now, when now you have gotten all these scriptures, you sit down. Then you understand how to teach it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's go. Psalm 132, verse number 7. Quickly.
Let us go into his tabernacle.
Yes.
Let us worship at his footstool.
Okay, let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool.
Yes,
already, God has given. So, where is his footstool now?
Yes.
Yes, when you understand this word, you will understand the, you know, the statement that was put there in Job, the book of Job, chapter 1, where the Bible says, and the sons of God came to worship, you know, God, and the devil, you will know that we worship God at his footstool.
Mm.
Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool.
Yes.
So when the sons of God gather together, he's talking about his children. Job was part of them, his children who were worshiping.
Yes.
Because the devil was chasing after Job, he also entered the worship place. It's just like when we enter into the church of Jesus or the church premise and the devil comes there.
Yes.
That's why we cast out devils.
Yes.
And you see, they come there with them.
Yes.
He was looking for Job. He was not getting any avenue about Job. He followed Job to the presence of God where they were going to sacrifice and worship.
Yes.
So when he followed Job and the rest of the faithfuls of God at the time, God, his spirit, spoke unto him because that is God. You know, you have to understand that even perhaps it was an angel of God that was speaking to him.
Mm.
But you see, when God says, I am the one speaking, the angel speaks by him.
Yes.
In the Bible, several scenarios are something like that. But the record, the prophetic record given unto us is like that.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean because Jesus said, the way to the holiest of all, nobody has ever been there. Nobody. So how can the devil appear in the presence of God?
Mm.
The presence of God, you have to understand where it builds. The presence of God is where the worship of God is. At
Lord
his footstool. He inhabits in his word, praise and presence. That's where his presence comes to.
Mm-hmm.
So the interpretation of the word, if you want to use your personal opinion, you will be mistaken. If you use the word of God, you are right.
Mm.
The worship of God is at his footstool. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. And then he's talking about the habitation of what? God, where his presence is, where they worship him. Now, let's read again. Read again, Apostle.
Psalm 132, verse 7.
Yes.
Let us go into his tabernacle.
Yes.
Let us worship at his footstool.
Let us worship at his footstool. The tabernacle of God is built at the footstool of God. That is why the tabernacle, we are the temple of Jesus Christ. We are the temple of God on earth here. And we are at his footstool, being prepared to be taken. And that's why we represent his feet.
In these last days,
they will never come, will not come, unless
the falling away comes.
Number one, the falling away comes first.
And the man of sin is revealed.
And the man of sin is revealed.
Something extraordinary is eventuating.
After the man of sin is revealed, that's when the day of the Lord will come.
A wonder, a stupendous spectacle.
The one who is restraining the Antichrist is restraining the Antichrist so that the Antichrist will not be revealed before his day.
Yes.
But he will be revealed exactly on his time.
Yes, sir.
And the restrainer is a he.
Never before witnessed. Watch the Word of Life live broadcast with Prophet John Anoche this and every Saturday at 7 a.m. on Metro TV. For more information, visit www.johnanocheministries.org, www.worldwideworldministries.org, or call 0302-507-154 or 0540-996-670. This broadcast is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com.